Hello.
You're on
All
Second
right, the recording is
Corinthians
back on.
6, and we were just discussing verse 2.
On verse 2 in Second Corinthians 6, or not, we were talking about what it meant, and he quotes this verse from the Old Testament where he say, "I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In Hebrews, the verse is quoted again. Let me see if I can find it. It is said, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." That's 3:15. This whole idea of receiving God's grace when you hear it is really strongly emphasized in Hebrews, because that's where he talks about, I think that's where he talks about Abel, or not Abel, Esau, where he tried to repent and he couldn't afterwards. And it has that idea of, you've got to respond to God's grace when it's offered to you, and not just say, "Well, I'll do something about it later on. Today, I'm not going to worry about it. I'll put it off."
Yeah, I think that that's true too. I don't think that that's incompatible with what I said.
No, I guess not. I'm just saying that I've just was one. I think that's just where I was going with it,
Yeah, I mean, Pink talks about that all the time, that there's the Bible teaches both. It teaches God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. They're not antithetical. I also think that verse 3 is interesting, where it says, we give no offense in anything that our ministry might not be blamed. What's your taking on that? I have an idea.
I think it has to do with being jealous for the name of God. That's a principle that we see in the Old Testament a lot, where and the Jews were always very concerned that they didn't act in ways that would cause the name of God to be blasphemed. And I think you see that carried over in the New Testament also.
Right.
Paul mentioned that in some context, that the name of God it not be blasphemed, or
Yes.
the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles or something because of
Right,
your.
but
And that's where doing something that is offensive in the eyes of other people has an implication beyond your immediate, what concerns you particularly. It also concerns God. And I think that's why Paul says that the ministry be not blamed.
well, yeah.
Because that's the ministry of God.
Well, I was taking it in the sense that we as saints all have ministries, as individual Christians. And what I think he's warning us is that, if we tell people that we're a Christian, we can't at the same time be perhaps, I don't know, using profanity, for example, or because other people will see that there's this inconsistency. And our but by doing that, by proclaiming that you're a Christian and then doing things like that, it's ne reflecting negatively on Christ.
That's what I'm saying too.
So there's a
Think
there,
we
there's a very
agree on
practical warning to that, is that I think we have to be conscious of that when we're, because our daily lives and walk, that is part of our ministry.
that.
So people know that we're Christians, or we identify with Christianity, yet we live lives that are inconsistent with that. They're going to be given an opportunity to blaspheme God.
Yeah,
Sense?
that's the point.
Okay.
I agree with you. So Paul So it then goes in through this list of things that I think he's using as examples of instances where the grace of God could be manifested in our lives or not be manifested, depending on how we respond to them.
Yeah, and that was another thing I wanted to comment on. I think it's interesting that in this list you'll see things like things that are that are identified from what we know of as the Christian experience, such as patience or exercising patience and tribulations and needs, stripes and imprisonments and all these things. But what's interesting is as we continue to go down the list, the one that's interesting is as deceivers.
Where does the which
That's
verse is that?
eight.
8. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true.
It's so
So
that's
not that he
interesting.
really is being
No,
deceived.
but I think that
No.
that's what I wanted to say, that I think there is a tendency for worldlings to look at Christians as being deceivers, particularly all of the prosperity pastors or all of these fake pastors or the ones that are really insidious, like the Jim Joneses and stuff like that. There's a I think from the atheistic perspective, it's like, oh, those Christians, they're just deceptive liars. And it's an interesting thing that Paul acknowledges that. And it's like, we're probably looked at as deceivers, and yet true. And as unknown, there's not many Christians who are famous and well known. And yet, while we are unknown to the world, we're well known at the same time. I love that idea of at the exact same time, both things are true in the Christian's life. We might be poor, but yet we possess all things, and we're, doesn't it say that? Poor, poor, yet making many rich, having.
That's a consistent theme in Second Corinthians. Remember before we read about how we were the savor of life and unto the those who believe and the savor of death unto those who perish. There's always those con Paul in 2 Corinthians is talking about the paradoxical nature of the Christian life. It's very, and when he didn't start in this, up in 5, he's talking about specific things that were part of his experience. But I think once he gets into staying by honor and dishonor, where there are two opposites being mentioned, by evil report and good report. Both, in other words, whether it's something good or something bad, there's a way to deport yourself in Christ where it answers to the glory of God as opposed to answering to a cause of blasphemy or disrespect of God by other people. But when he's making these contrasts, then he starts getting into these real paradoxes, like unknown and yet well known. I mean, they're exact opposites. As dying and behold, we live.
Right. And what does well known mean? Don't you think that that
Well,
refers back to when Christ says, "In that day, they will say to me, did I not perform any miracles? And I will say, depart from me, I never knew you."
in a way, because I think the well-known part is that who are we well known to? Well, we're well known to God, and that's what matters.
Right.
In other words, we may be unknown to the President of the United States, and that has certain disadvantages, but we're well known unto the master of the universe. That
Yeah,
has advantages.
it's funny that you mentioned the president of the United States, because Paul Washer used that as an analogy for this exact thing. He was
Isn't
saying,
that something?
if you know the president, for example, that you can go to the White House and say, "Oh, I know president. I know that Biden's president, therefore I want him to come out and talk to me. That's not going to happen. On the other hand, if Biden knows you, he'll go outside and say, bring him in. I want him. And there's a big
That's a
difference
good point.
between knowing him and him knowing you. And, speaking of the paradoxical condition of the Christian life, it's true even of God's word, that it's always efficacious. It serves to soften hearts or harden hearts at the exact time, but it's never neutral. There's never a neutral response to the gospel. Always working out what God has designed it to, either making people angry or and offended or softening their hearts. It's an amazing thing.
And some of these paradoxes are really cool, like as poor yet making many rich. And what comes to mind is when Peter is walking into the temple and the man is asking him for an alms. And he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you.
That's a
In
good.
the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So there was an example of him making this poor crippled man rich by sharing the healing of God with him, even though he had nothing that he could, from in the way of physical possessions that he could give him.
Right. And that's something that we need to always keep in our minds too, that as John says, we are his children even now. There's not, we don't have to wait for this future conclusion. We are even now. In the same way, even though we're poor, yet at this very moment we possess all things, because the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ.
And I think that might be another aspect of the word in verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Extending on what you're saying, if now is the day of salvation, then we should be showing every time is a good time, so to speak. Now, in verse 11 and 12,
I love that verse 12 where it says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. That makes me think of that Cohen line where
Which
he goes, you are locked into your suffering and your pleasures are the seal. From Stories of the Street.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh yeah, he goes, the stories of the street are mine. The Spanish voices laugh. Remember that one? Anyway,
No, I don't. I don't
you
think
are
I've ever
locked
heard
into
it.
you're locked into your suffering and your pleasures are the seal. And I think that that's what he's saying. You're restricted by your own affections.
Well, I think what he's also saying is that he wants to
Close on June 26th.
minister to them.
The
I'm going to pause this a minute just
okay.
because Linda's
To
got.
a condo that we own and